Oh, yeah, and we'll get into the spring games in just a moment, but a couple of things regarding college basketball. So, obviously, it's been a little bit since we talked, and there's been a whole lot of stuff that's gone on, but Todd Golden hired as the Florida head coach, and then I'll get to Matt McMahon in a second in LSU, but as far as the hire is concerned, do you like what Florida's done by bringing in Todd Golden, kind of one of the up-and-coming coaches that we're seeing or that we saw this year in college basketball?
I think so. They're just, frankly, so much we don't know at this point. I mean, he's got good reviews as far as creativity, and he's supposed to be an analytics guy. But frankly, beyond that, it's just it's a crapshoot at this point, and the league hired a lot of guys like him who are they're smart guys, have got a lot of potential, but the problem is they don't have a lot of experience as far as the NCAA tournament.
You've got Lamont Paris, you've got Dennis Gates and Matt McMahon, Todd Golden, all from smaller schools, Chris Jans as well, and the only one that, you know, is staying in conference, ironically, but the only coach that is of a bigger name, I guess, is Mike White, where he was with the Gators and now he's with Georgia. Of all those hires, is there one that really stands out maybe as a really good hire? Or like you said, a lot of them we really don't know too much about right now and can't judge it right now.
I think it's just too close to call, frankly. We really just don't know. I mean, if before you had a lot of Kermit Davis hire and Ben Howland hire and even the Nate Oates hire, he showed at Buffalo that he had a lot of promise, but frankly, beyond that, at this point, it's just too close to call.
So the other one is, Matt McMahon. Of course, the state of LSU athletics is they're in an interesting spot now. And obviously, Brian Kelly comes in, Matt McMahon comes in, but the state of that program is they are, he has really got his work cut out for him. I mean, they lose 13 players, two of them to the draft, 11 others have entered the portal. And when he came in, I remember him saying that he'd like to, meet with the players and try to convince them to stay. It doesn't seem like that's gone too particularly well.
No.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't think they even have a scholarship player on the roster now, correct?
No, they don't. No, they had 11 players, and every one of them are gone, which is unprecedented, which also tells you that they are probably anticipating the hammer dropping on them over the next few years. I mean, when you've got players like that, every one of them leaving,
yeah.
I think what that tells you is they may be expecting to – 2 or 3 years of being banned from the tournament.
Oh, yeah. And I think that, the hammer is going to be laid down on LSU in all likelihood, and it'll be a big hammer at that. But overall, trying to get some more positive thoughts on this NCAA tournament. Arkansas make that deep run. They knock off Gonzaga. I think it showed a lot about Eric Musselman and getting the most out of his players. But is there anything that you particularly thought of, like if you could give an overall synopsis of this tournament, maybe from an SEC perspective alone, I would say it's a little bit of disappointment for the conference, but how about Arkansas making it as far as they did?
They did fine. As a matter of fact, I mean, they just kind of ran out of gas at the end, but they made as deep a run, frankly, I think more so than what they thought. I mean, they've got a terrific recruiting class that's coming in, so that they will be in very good shape from that end of it. The rest of the conference was certainly disappointing, Drew, from Auburn being one of the most disappointing teams, not even getting out of the first weekend. But Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, their last 9 games were basically 5-4. Which, when you've got that late in the season, you're just really not going anywhere. And that's basically what happened. I mean, obviously, the Kentucky shock by St. Peter's. But the thing is, St. Peter's proved it was well worthy of being in there. I mean, we knew what Alabama would do, that they were a huge disappointment in the tournament. They had a really good December-January type situation. As a matter of fact, for some inexplicable reason, Shaq, you've got a situation where Shackelford is going to the NBA. Now, who he thinks is going to draft him is beyond me.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to the he may not be going to the G League. He may be going to the XYZ League or something of that matter. But I think the reality is that team needed to go home. Kessler won the Defensive Player of the Year at Auburn. But frankly, in his last few games, he didn't play well. I mean, he was non-existent in their last game. LSU was kind of what we thought would happen without Wade. They were a rudderless ship at that point. Now, I still think that it was a good year overall. Anytime you can get six teams in, and frankly, A&M should have been in. A&M, also, I mean, let's just be honest, they blew the NIT championship game after having a big lead. But still, all in all, A&M should have gone in. It would not have surprised me at all if A&M would have won a couple of games.
Especially, you know, the way that they were playing, Brent, I feel like it would have almost been a given. I would have been very intrigued to see what their seeding would have been as well, had they made it, if they'd have been in the playing game as an 11, or maybe they actually got in there outright and didn't have to play in the play-in. Who's your pick for the national title game tonight? And then we'll switch over to college football.
I'll go with Kansas. I think Kansas is deeper. I mean, what a tremendous run of Carolina and what Davis has done with them. I mean, just but I think they really only go six or seven deep. Kansas go 10 deep. I think at some point that probably pays off for them. But boy, if the game tonight can be anything like Carolina Duke, it will be tremendous. There are a couple things about this game I'm not trying to be the guy who says get off my lawn here, but
sure.
They really made a mistake in this championship game in two ways. Number one, they start the game at 9:20 Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Well, look, they've never learned from that. If you're trying to improve your game, start the game an hour earlier. I mean, you know, you're trying to get kids interested in your game, and these kids have got to go to bed. And they're in bed by halftime. And the other thing is, this is equally as ridiculous, is they got the game on TBS. It's mm-hmm. not CBS. It's on TBS. And look, I've got a Kansas fan in my church. She's a Kansas grad. And she told me, well, I can't watch a game because I don't have cable. I mean, I know she'd go to sports bar or something like that, but look, they'll come out in the next day or two, and if they have poor ratings, they'll still shrug their shoulders and raise their hands as if to say, well, we don't know why. Well, people can tell you why. It's not hard.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was very surprising for them to have it on TBS as opposed to CBS. And like you said, Brent, they've always had that game late, and I never understood why the game is always tipping off late. And my mom always said the same thing, too. It's like, why is the game so late? Like, I'm ready to go to bed at halftime. I'm just tired.
Right.
I'm wanting to see the whole game. So I never understood why they do that either. Real quick, I want to transition over to the spring games. As you mentioned earlier, this weekend we've got Kentucky, Auburn, Texas A&M. I'll get to Texas A&M last, but what are you expecting out of Kentucky? And what are you expecting to see out of Auburn, if anything?
Auburn's not even going to have two teams that can even line up, frankly. They're because they don't have enough quarterbacks right now, to be honest. That's a real problem. They certainly don't have enough defensive linemen. So they're going to – I was listening to an Auburn beat writer on my brother's show in Huntsville, Alabama, a little bit earlier today, and I heard the Auburn beat writer say that they're just going to have more of a scrimmage-type situation because that Auburn really only has got about 50 or 60-something players on this roster. I mean, period.
Wow.
So, that will get better, obviously, by September. So, Will Levis comes back for Kentucky. The Robinson Cannon wide receiver is gone. Chris Rodriguez is back. I mean, we know what those guys can do. They've got ample depth, and they'll be fine. A&M, it's going to be interesting to see where that quarterback situation is going to go along that line, too. Haynes King still may be the quarterback there. Johnson Kidd coming over from LSU is a possibility. But Devon Achane comes back. They've got to replace Widemeyer. That'd be interesting to see what they do with him. They've got like a record number of 5 stars on the defensive line. That will help them come fall. But I'll say this, Drew, Aggie fans have got to be tired of 8-4. That's what they were last year. They were 8-4 under Kevin Sumlin. So at some point, when you bring in that much talent, that's got to change, and that needs to start for them this year.
Yeah, the rubber's got to meet the road at some point, and Jimbo's got, he's had the time to set up that program where now it's nothing but the expectation to at least be in the playoff. I feel like the expectation should be in that national championship, and I think it is, but he needs to at least be able to get to the SEC title game, I feel like, minimum, for fans to be any sort of satisfied.
Well, I can tell you this, though. They're not going to beat Alabama this year. You can forget that. Saban's not going to say much about it, but that game circled from losing that last year. I mean, Alabama did about 20 things wrong to lose that game last year, and those players are not going to allow that to happen again this season. So that's going to be tough for them. Listen, I've seen some predictions already. It's got Alabama 1, Arkansas 2, and A&M like 4.
Wow.
So, and I can tell you this, they're not going to fire Jimbo. He's nowhere near being on the hot seat. But if something like that happens this year, they will start to get very impatient in College Station.
Absolutely. So I saw this article on the Athletic, and we can end on this, that the Power 5 – could be turning into the Power 2, and it was looking at the TV ratings or the revenue that is made from television. And they project by 2026, yep, I believe, and even further beyond, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to distance themselves completely, more than double almost what the rest of the Power 5 make in the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12. Are we ever going to see some sort of a separation from the structure of the Power 5, and is it actually going to become something like the Power 2 above those other conferences, or do you find that unrealistic in terms of the structure of college football, not just with the TV revenue?
I don't know if the structure is going to change, but a lot of the other is going to change. I mean, the SEC, for instance, schools made $54 million per school. Well, on those projections, It's something akin to, and this is just staggering, $104 million per school. I mean, you think about that a minute. Even Vanderbilt would get $104 million per school. I get amused at people saying stuff like, "Well, I could see Missouri and Vanderbilt getting mad and getting their marbles and leaving the SEC." Well, I've got a clue for people. That ain't happening, okay?
Right.
When you can make that kind of money, I don't care if you're last place every year in the league in athletics, no one's going anywhere when you can get, when you're projected to make that kind of money by the end of the decade.
Yeah, you could very well say that Vanderbilt is robbing the SEC right now because of the quality that they're putting out from an athletic standpoint. Other than baseball, of course, it seems like, you know, they're fully underwhelming and not deserving of that $104
right.
million. But I just found that absolutely. I'm with you. I find the number is just jaw dropping. Where
it is.
You know, you tell yourself these are universities making this amount of money. I you know, and 20,
right.
25, 30 years ago, I mean, if you mentioned $100 million to any of those, you know, presidents or just the NCAA in general, I mean, half those people would probably have a heart attack.
Well, see, what that entails would be the new SEC deal that's going to be taking place in the next few years, i.e. when the SEC leaves CBS and they go to ESPN. And the other thing that entails is what you're going to get out of the playoffs, in the which we don't even know what that could be right now, frankly. So I mean, again, yes, you're talking about an amount of money at this point that I remember people. And this was a few years ago, obviously, but when sports media couldn't believe it, when SEC schools were making $4 million per school.
Yeah.
So they've come a little bit away since then.
Just a little bit. Well, Brent, appreciate the time as always. Can't wait to talk to you on Monday again about these spring games. And the magazines, Brent, are only about a month away.
Yes, they are.
It's almost time.
Well, listen, I get very excited about that. That's a big deal for me. I mean, this is April the 4th. We're looking at magazines being here, and I trace this every year, is around May 21st, something in there. So that doesn't take long to do the math. But see, the problem this year with the magazines is there is a May 1st deadline for transferring. So what that means is there's going to be a plethora of players leaving and transferring for all these schools after the spring game is over up until May 1. So I don't know what that's going to do this year for the magazines' deadlines.
I think the SEC ones at least have been pushed back by Athlon to maybe the first week of June, maybe because of that. But I know that as of right now, yeah, I think they're scheduled for late May. So nonetheless, it is an exciting time of year. Of course, we get to talk some college basketball, college football, and getting into the nitty-gritty of college baseball and softball season as well. But, Brent, I appreciate the time as always. You have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
You too, bud. Take care.